for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. The voice said, Cry, and he said, What shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Verse number 3, I'd like you to notice when he says, The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway. I'd like to preach today on in desert places. In desert places. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for this tremendous passage. I pray that you give us help from it today. Lord, might you be glorified and honored in that which we do. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. When you think about what is said in this passage, verse number 3 specifically is the prophecy concerning the coming of John the Baptist. And when by the time John the Baptist came on the scene, it had been 400 years since there had been a text of Scripture given. Been 400 years since a prophet had come. It had been 400 years in between the Old and New Testament where there was not an open vision. It was a time where the people of Israel were struggling along. You could imagine how they had felt after all these years of having received prophets of God, been the beneficiary of the prophets, and then all of a sudden it was gone. The river had dried up, you could say. The visions were gone. The people were gone, and they just wandered around for seemingly 400 years. We think about what was said beginning in this passage as it goes forward in the next several chapters. Isaiah would lay out the future of the nation of Israel. And we'll see a few of those things here in just a moment. When we think about what John the Baptist had to say, coming out of the middle of nowhere, coming out of the wilderness, and then he began to prepare the path for the Lord Jesus Christ to come. He was a little bit excited about his work. I mean, he did leap in his mother's womb when somebody mentioned the name of the Lord Jesus. We think about how faithful and effective he was in his work and how he was looked upon as being unusual and strange. He had a rare diet. He had unusual clothing and they probably looked at him a little strange, but he was a man that just come out of the desert. The wilderness and the desert oftentimes in the Bible are the same thing. And so here comes John the Baptist, a man who unusual in his approach, but yet he had godly lineage with him as he was the cousin of the Lord. And what an amazing thought it was when he says simply the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness to prepare. Hey, listen, the message hasn't changed much in these years. We still come out of the wilderness. We still come out of the dark places and we say, prepare ye the way of the Lord. He's coming. Amen. There is a work to be done and we find ourselves drawing strength from that which God has before us. Let's look verse number 3. As we said, we found that there is indeed repentance in the desert. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. How many times do we get fussed at for preaching repentance? Amen. We get fussed at for preaching a lot of things in our day and time, but you mentioned that you have to change. You mentioned that God will do something in your life. Oh, you've been branded as something. We had a missionary years ago whose son-in-law had gotten off into this crazy doctrine. I later found out what church it was, and I was shocked that I knew who he was. But he got into this stuff that said repentance is a work-based salvation. I said, well, then Jesus preached a work-based salvation. Amen. If repentance is a work, then Jesus was guilty of preaching repentance. John the Baptist was guilty of preaching repentance. Amen. Paul was guilty of preaching repentance. Hey, look, the whole New Testament then being guilty of preaching repentance. But repentance was preached in the desert, and you look over in the next chapter in 41, verse number 19, you'll find something else about the desert. He said, I will plant in the wilderness the cedar, the cedar tree, the myrtle, the oil tree. I will set in the desert the fir tree and the pine and the box tree together. If you read the rest of the text, you'll find that he was restoring the place of the desert. So we find there was repentance in the desert. We find there's restoration in the desert. How many times does God take somebody out to a wilderness experience just to do something in his life? I think about how many times the wilderness was used in the nation of Israel as they would go and God would have to let them wander in the wilderness. God would have to let them be whipped in the wilderness, amen, because of their disobedience unto him. But here we find that they were restored in the desert place. God was not done. We find two chapters over in 43:19. We find, let's see if I can get the pages to not stick together, but 43:19 says, Behold, I will do a new thing now. It shall spring forth, shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. So we have repentance in the desert. There's restoration in the desert. And then comes abundance because we find that there were rivers in the desert. I'm getting somewhere if we'll just give me just a moment. But look back at chapter 40 and we'll get to the rest of the text. We might notice that not all the desert places in our life are bad places. There's a lot of times we find ourselves complaining about the desert. We look around today. We don't have, far as I can tell, men who pastor mega churches. Amen. I don't know that I could anyways. We don't see men whose name shows up in the sword every week. We don't find men here today who have a big name or a large following. But you know what I do see? Men and women today who are faithful. And last I checked, that's what God measuring stick is all about, is faithfulness. Amen. Whether you're faithful to 50 or faithful to 5,000, God wants us to be faithful in the field that he puts us in. And we see what was developing in this chapter. We see that verse number 3, there was a way of God that was mentioned. He says, prepare ye the way of the Lord. I find a lot of times in life when we've talked to young people, we talk and witness to people, what do they tell you? Well, I'm just trying to find my way. Well, hey, listen, it's a lot easier when you find the Lord's path for your life. Hey, listen, I tell our church all the time, there's no greater place to walk than in the center of the Lord's will. There's no place that's more satisfying. There's no place that's as provided for as the center of the Lord's will is. And we find it right here in our text. It comes out of the desert place. The way of God comes out of the desert regions of our life. God can teach us things in these hard places that he cannot teach us in the easy places of life. I find a lot of times people get discouraged in the middle of the desert. They get worried. They begin to struggle. Hey, listen, when you find yourself in that place, keep your chin up, keep going, because God has something in store that comes out of the desert. We find it was the way of the Lord that come out of the desert. Verse number 5, he said, the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. What else do we see? Not only the way of God out of the desert, but we find the wonder of God. More often than not, I found in our walk with Christ, our biggest struggles come because we've taken our eyes off of who God is. I find a world that knows nothing about who God is. I find churches today, because they're not really a Bible preaching church, they have a congregation full of people that know nothing of the wonder of God. They have no real worship because I think a lot of them's not saved. They have real struggles in the things that they face because they have no real direction of who the Lord is and what he has done and where they were when they found him. Amen. They found themselves repeating a prayer. They found themselves led to
to some festival or something, and they were given a false gospel, a false hope, or, hey, listen, we have a world that knows nothing of the wonder of God. A few years ago, I got a phone call from a preacher in Georgia, down outside of Atlanta, and he was all excited, and I mean, he was just couldn't hardly contain himself, and he told me his granddaughter had gotten saved, and rushed over to his house to begin to testify of what the Lord done in her heart, and he said, called her name, and he said, well, tell me about it. Was it the fear of hell? Maybe that, well, you know, I understood that. And she said, well, was it the understanding of yours? Oh, absolutely. Papa, I understood that. She said, but what stood out above all things was how much that God loved my wretched soul. She said, that's what drew me unto Him. Hey, listen, we find a world today that knows nothing about what that little girl knew that was far greater than most theologians of our day and time. But we find it's the wonder of God that'll help us in the desert places. Verse number 8, it said, the grass withereth and the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Hey, listen, we have the Christian world today that's lost sight of the word of God because they've got something that's been hacked and chewed up and spit and messed up. And hey, listen, you turn over to 1 Corinthians 1:18 and he starts talking in the Bible. It says, and you who are saved, amen, but all them newfangled things says, and you who are being saved. Well, no wonder they don't know anything about the Lord because they haven't gotten there yet. Amen. Hey, listen, we have a problem. You can't grow if you've got an inferior book. Amen. I certainly wouldn't pick up a manual for a Chevy truck to fix a Ford truck. You'd be in a mess, wouldn't you? Hey, listen, of course, you'll have to have a manual if you've got a Chevy truck. I'm kidding. I had to throw something in there for fun, but I saw several Fords in the parking lot, so I thought I'd be in good company. And amen. And so I'll get off that stuff where we get in trouble. But it was the Word of God. I find a lot of times we get in a difficult place in life and the things that we have and the things that we realize of value become even more valuable to us. I find a lot of times in life we find ourselves focusing upon the problem that's right in front of us instead of stepping back and seeing, hey, listen, God's got something in the works, and God's definitely in control, and we'll find the answers in the Word of God. A lot of times people, preachers, you know what I'm talking about, they'll call up, say, this and this and this is going on, and I don't know what I'm going to do about it, because I don't know what to tell them. Usually I just say, how much you been reading your Bible lately? As the black guys in prison would say, preacher, it's been a minute. Turned out that means it's a very long time. It don't mean a minute at all. And they'll say something, well, it's been a while, preacher. And I say, you know, most of your spiritual problems develop because you've not had your nose in the binding of God's Word. Hey, listen, where else are you going to find the answer to life's problems? In the eternal pages of God's Word. Even though we're evident in the desert here was a wonderful place for many things, we still find ourselves in deep valleys in our life. It, just because we're students of the Word, just because we're faithful to Him, don't mean we won't have valleys and struggles and troubles. It don't mean that there won't be hard places and dark times. Hey, but listen, we'll know where the answer's at. We'll know to look unto. Amen. When the hard times come from the middle of the desert, we'll know exactly where to look to find our help. Our minds are trained to think of the desert as being the negative things because we find in the desert, we find tremendous heat. Amen. My brother and I finally come to the conclusion we're both allergic to heat. Makes our heads leak right off the top. Amen. I can't get it to stop. But you know, you think about the desert, you think about heat. Brother David Edens was at our church Sunday. And I don't know of a greater missionary in our generation than Brother David Edens. Went over to the Sahara Desert in the middle of absolutely nowhere, with hardly anybody there. And he found a nomad group of people who couldn't read. They didn't know anything about languages, and they didn't have an alphabet. And he just began to listen to the people and developed an alphabet for them. Then he had to teach it to them, had to teach them to read. And they didn't have a Bible. And he began to work and labor and put together a translation form of the Scripture. And God took 30 years before any great work began to develop as far as what man would be concerned. But here was a man laboring wonderfully and faithfully in the desert without complaint. 120 degrees. Brother David wasn't thinking about the temperature. He was thinking about the problem that those people had, and they had no exposure to the Word of God. Well, after the last several years since that Bible work is done, hey, listen, the work has grown, and the people have grown. And he was telling us about a group he'd been trying to get to them for years, and he finally got up to where they were. And long story short, he got to talking to the chief there of that village, and he'd gotten saved. And he said, and then this person had gotten saved, and that, he said, and the whole village had gotten saved. 200 people, every last one of them born again. Why? Because a work had developed out of the heat of the desert places. There's loneliness in the desert. There wasn't a lot of people hanging around in the Sahara Desert 40 years ago. There's loneliness in our desert places. I hear and talk to men who pastor, and it might be 100 miles before another good church. And listen, fellowship gets lonely for a lot of people in our day and time. There's loneliness in the desert. There's limits in the desert. There's things you can't get a hold of, maybe, that you would find readily available where most of us live. But there's some people that live in limitations. I spoke to a missionary the other day in on furlough, and he said, oh, we have to make everything, have to, you know, if we could buy it, if we could find it to buy, it'd be 10, 15 times higher than it is here. And he said, my wife makes everything from scratch. And he said, I fix everything we've got. He said, you can't go and just readily purchase something that's new because it's not available. And he said, but we're the happiest we've ever been in our life. I find some that they wouldn't make it if they had. I'm not so sure I'd be jumping on the next boat to go there. But hey, listen, there's some people who don't notice the limits of the area they live. They notice the possibilities that are around them. Desert places aren't always bad places. In the Bible, although we find that Israel found the desert to be a place of disobedience, a place of rebellion, and a place of grieving the Lord. But wait a minute, there's some good things in the desert. In the Bible, we find that when they did listen to the Lord, the desert was a place of sacrifice. The desert was a place of supply. For Moses, we found that it was the place of God. For Uzziah, it was the place of plenty. And in the New Testament, Jesus found the desert to be a place of rest. And it was a place of companionship with His disciples. Hey, listen, I found a lot of times in my life, in those times when it seems like the Lord, maybe He's not speaking as much as I would want, or maybe things aren't developing as fast as I would like for them to be, I find oftentimes those are times of great companionship from God's other people. Amen. I find it when I'm in a dark or a desert place, God sends somebody by to encourage. I've got a book about the power of encouragement. You'd think it was one of them, Joel Osteen books, but I think David Jeremiah had written it, and that might not be the exact name of it, but through that, it was talking about how effective it is to encourage somebody else. Hey, listen, we live in a discouraging world. Hey, the world hates everything that we do. They'd love to see every church that we attend or pastor shut down. They'd love to see our buildings turned into something else. They would do anything for our voices to be silent. Hey, but listen, God has a way of encouraging us from each other. Amen. I find a lot of times I don't look outside for encouragement. David, we found when he was at Ziklag, he come back and the place had been burnt and his families had been taken away and all of his stuff had been pillaged. What did he do? He went out in the wilderness and he encouraged himself in the Lord. The desert can be a place of encouragement for us. And we find that the Ethiopian eunuch found the desert to be a place of salvation. Amen. As Philip ran unto him. I used that line one time. I saw a fellow sitting and reading his Bible one day, sitting on the steps at a prison. I walked up and I said, understandest what thou readest? And he looked up, he says, how can I, amen, except a man teach me? I said, well, you must have been reading that real recent. We had a wonderful time of fellowship. You know what was going on? He was in a desert place in his life. He had his nose in the book trying to find some encouragement, amen. Well, the Lord just had two people in the right place at the right time. And we began to encourage one another in the things of the Lord. Well, since we've noticed that the desert can be a good place for many people in the Bible, how about it in our life? Are we determined that there are positive things to be found in the Bible for our lives about the desert? I believe so. We find that the desert is a place of preparation for most of us. We find that God do things in our life. We'll find many times that God will provide some unusual teachings in our life in the desert places. I love reading accounts about men and families that they've gone and started churches and works in hard or unusual places. And I'm amazed at what God has done through them by measuring simply their faithfulness. Hey, listen, not everybody that pastors or starts a church knocks it out of the park in the first 3 or 4 weeks. That's very rare. You read about them guys, and boy, we had 400 on our first Sunday. I don't know how much they had to hand out to get all that done, but hey, listen, that stuff doesn't happen on a regular basis. I find more often than not, you find somebody go and they'll get to work and they'll begin to plow and they'll begin to work on the hearts of the people around them, and slowly but surely God will build a work. That's how things generally take place. I found that God will take a person somewhere and do some difficult things in him. And I remember a preacher, a friend of mine, most of you would know him. And he was pastoring in East Tennessee, and boy, it was rough on him, and they chewed him up and spit him out, and they starved him out, and it was rough on him. And he left, and after the Lord finally gave him liberty to leave, and he went and started him a church, and it's doing all right. And a preacher come along and told him, he said, God didn't have you there for you to grow that church. God, you had you at that church for that church to grow you. Yeah. Hey, we think the desert places, and we get all upset about it, but listen, why don't you wait and look to see what God's doing in the preparation of your life? If you'll feed your faith, doubt will starve to death. Amen. I love that. I wrote that beneath that. Because sometimes our preparation time is the most difficult time in our life. Sometimes it's because we're impatient. Sometimes we think that the load's too heavy to bear. But listen, we ought to be careful about the desert place because it's a place of preparation. We also notice that it's a place of provision. Israelites went out into the desert and they wandered around the wilderness much longer than they should have had to do so. But you know what God did? God provided water from a rock. How often does that take place? God provided, what is it from heaven? Manna. Amen. I think it was probably peanut butter on graham crackers, but that's all right with me too. And whatever it is for you, that's fine. But God provided food at their tent doors every morning. And he got a double portion on Friday. Amen. I think about how they began to whine about not having meat, and God made hunting so easy, and he brought an east wind in with quail at the height of the knee. Just smack them in the head and put them on the plate. God was providing in unusual ways in provisions. I see God providing over and over again. It amazes me. We could preach for hours just about telling stories about how God's provided in an unusual place, in an unusual time, in an unusual way. I find it amazing how how it is when your math looks at the situation and it's not going to work out too well. God moves in. God does something great. God meets a need here. Some years ago, we had an unusual surprise come in the mail, $700 and something, and the Lord said, "You better hold that." I said, "Okay." So I did. I just stuck it. I put it in the bank. Didn't even write it down. I just, in the back of my mind, I remembered it was there. And I kid you not, about 3 months later, we had some the whole front end, began to go out underneath the front of the car. All kinds of parts from one side to the other. You know what the total bill was? Just a little over $700. Hey, listen, God will prepare. Sometimes ahead of time, God will provide if we pay attention to what's going on. Sometimes it's right on time, and sometimes it may be in the stressful time. But God always provides. The desert is a place of unusual provision. You know what it does when God provides it in an unusual way? It builds your faith like no other way does. Also, we find the desert to be a place of providence. You know, many of life's greatest lessons are not learned inside of the church services. Sometimes they're not learned in the classroom, but it's in the desert, it's in the valley, or it's on the battlefield. God puts His servants through times of testing, through times of works, through times of difficulties, that He might help us to understand the providence of God working in us. Brother Tommy, I don't know if you remember, I know you remember the event, but years ago I heard you preaching and you was telling us about that time you set out to go home here from Greenville and your boss needed you to work over. Well, they had that big rock slide that you'd have been right in the middle of. I don't know how many times I think about that. God just putting a roadblock over here to keep you from getting somewhere that it hurts you. Hey, listen, how often does the providence of God work in our hearts? I know sometimes at the moment you look at it and you think, oh man, that slows me down. It's in my way. It's going to cost me a fortune. That's how men think about things. But God's got something greater in order. God does tremendous things if we'll just let Him. I've often wondered about how many blessings we've skipped out because we complained our way through it, not noticing the providential hand of God. I know we get nervous. Preachers, I've noticed, we get real nervous when somebody leaves, don't we? That really cranks. And I learned sometimes that there is addition by subtraction. Amen. That works out good sometimes. I don't promote none of that stuff, but you know, once in a while, I guess it happens. Don't be afraid for God to take us to difficult places in order for Him to work in forming us unto Himself. If a piece of clay could speak, it would not like the potter's wheel. If it had physical feelings and a voice, hey, listen, it would cry out unto the potter every time. Oh, the pain, oh, the discomfort, oh, the disfiguration, what are you doing? Hey, listen, but that is in essence what Christ does to us. In the middle of our difficulties, we're on the potter's wheel. He's forming us. He's molding us. And oftentimes He takes us to the desert place to allow that to happen. Make that desert place a determined place. Make it a diligent place. Be effective in our time. And allow us to be transformed in our walk with God. I hear a lot of times people say, I'm just not satisfied with where I'm at spiritually speaking. And I'll ask them, well, what are you doing about it? Well, preacher, you need to preach harder. You get mad if I preach harder. That's exactly what I told them. I preach hard, you complain about how bad your feet hurt when you leave. Amen. I don't preach hard enough and it's back and forth. We're in all in good jest, of course, but I've often wondered, what is the price that we're willing to pay for us to be conformed to the image of God? Do not forget that is the predestined image in the mind of God. That's the predestination of the believer. God wants us to look like Christ. I've often wondered how often do we stop short of God forming us unto the will of Christ? Are we careful to give Him glory in the desert? That's the hardest time. It's kind of like working on something. You bust a knuckle. You try to forget those words. It's trying to come back to your mind. Don't look at me like that don't happen to you. Amen. And you press forward through it. Right? Number one, you know the work has to get done. Number two, you know it's going to be better in the end. I had an old car one time and the water pump went out. That wouldn't be too hard, but it was in the middle of everything. I had to take off everything off the front of the motor and I had it laid out in my driveway. And I get the water pump replaced and then I get to thinking, well, where did that go? I didn't have any trouble figuring out where the big stuff went. It was those 45 brackets that went with it that I had a hard time remembering where they were. I called a preacher friend of mine who was a mechanic, and I said, hey, why don't you come over for a visit? He'd come by and laughed. He goes, oh, I've done this before. And he said, you need to put it in this, 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 and that. And he said, that'll work. And I said, all right, that sounds simple enough. Why didn't I write that down? because I took it apart and I started again. He took off, and you know what? Sure enough, I found four or five pieces that didn't fit right. I called him back. I said, "Hey, you want to come by for one more visit?" And he laughed. He goes, "Yeah, I'm heading to Chattanooga tomorrow anyways. I'm coming by." And so I said, "I got an idea." He said, "What's that?" I said, let me take them off and lay them in order on the driveway of where they ought to go. He goes, "That's a great idea." I was telling Dad about it. He said, "Boy, you should have just taken pictures of it." And I said, "It's too late now. That would have made too much sense." Amen. Do you know what kept me from setting fire to that thing and collecting the insurance and going to jail? Was the fact that I knew that if I did it right, it'd be a greater blessing. How about that in our life? Instead of groaning and complaining about what God has in order for us, why don't we look and say, "Hey, wait a minute, when God's done, it'll be greater than it was when He started. He could do more with us, having sent us through a desert place, than He could if it was all easy stuff in our life." Hey, listen, those great victories in the churches that we work in would not seem near as wonderful had we not gone through some difficulties to get there. Amen. Let's be faithful in the desert places as well as we are in the other places. Let's pray. Father, thank You, Lord, for this time and Thy Word. I pray, Lord, that Your people would be encouraged today. Lord, You'd help us to go back to our places of labor. And Lord, just glorify Thee in all that we do in the middle of it. God, may You be pleased, and may we bring honor to Thee. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.